of the country for like 17 days. And now I'm just struggling to be a person as I re-enter the real world, as they society. Formally know it. A contributing member of society, not just a spending hedonistic adventure seeker.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jet lag's a real bitch. and I think I got conned because, like, the way to Japan, which is like a 13-hour flight, and I was up for probably 28 hours straight. Like, when we got to Japan, we had a tour guide take us, or a guide take us to our hotel, and then he offered to show us, like, some of the local restaurants and, like, local things to do, because we had the next day free. And we're like, oh, yeah, great, no problem. We'll just go and put our stuff up in the room, and then we'll go. But I'm like, I said to the guide, I'm like, I'm very, very hungry. Like, I'm very hungry. And I was extremely exhausted at that point, too. And he's like, well, you know, we both would like some sushi. Hey, it's our first night in Japan. What do we want? We want sushi. And it took this man. He was pointing every fucking thing under the sun out to us. And to the point where I didn't want to be rude. And I knew that I was so hangry. If any words came out of my mouth, I was going to, like, be very rude.
Wait, was this your tour guide for the entire time?
No, no, no. This was just the one guy that, like, basically transported us from the hotel to, like, from the station to the hotel.
I would have laughed, though, been like, if you would have said something in your hangriness and it was going to be your, like, tour guide for the entire time. And then the tour guide would have hated you, yeah, like, from the get-go.
I mean, the Japanese people are a very respectful people, and they probably would have, like, been very respectful about it, but, like, seriously hated me. But no, so I didn't say anything, but I'm, like, walking a little bit behind Matt and this man, and I am, like, starting to cry. Like, I'm so angry that we're not eating yet that I, like, started to cry a little bit. And I'm like, I cannot be crying my first night in Tokyo. So I started to laugh uncontrollably.
I mean, that's one way to deal with it.
It was a way. And Matt, like, kept, like, checking back on me. And, like, he knew he didn't want to, like, say too much to me because it would have just, like, triggered me further, but he knew I was, like, slowly going insane.
It's gotta come out one way or the other, whether it's laughter or tears. You can't hold that shit in.
Yeah. And so finally we got to the restaurant, and the guy's like, oh, and this about the restaurant, and oh, and here's the menu, and oh, and here's this, and oh, and here's that. And I'm just like, oh my god. Ooh. So we finally, like, got in and sat down, and Matt sat down at this little table. It's this tiny little restaurant, and as soon as he sits down, a fucking dish falls off the table, and it breaks. So, like, these dumbass tourists just walk in, sit down, break shit already.
But it wasn't you that broke it. It was the guy.
No, it was Matthew. It was my husband.
Oh, it was Matt. Good job, Matt.
It was great. So, yeah, it was. And then he almost left his phone at that restaurant as well. Like, we were doing great. He was doing particularly great, but the two of us together. So that night, though, I ended up falling asleep for like 12 hours. And I was like, and I got up and I was like, wow, that bed really sucked. But hey, we got here. Let's go out and do it. And I was fine. So I had this false sense of like, oh, I'm going to be okay when I get home. But no, I'm traveling from west to east. Like, I'm traveling east. When you travel east, it's harder. That's the word. Then if you travel west.
I mean, and it's also the fact that you've already flipped your schedule once. So your body was like, okay, all right, we can do this. But then when you did it again, your body was like, oh, you can kindly go fuck yourself.
Yeah, like it was nighttime, like by the time we ate and dinner and all. And so like it was early. It was like 8:30, 9 o'clock, but we went to bed and we got up at a normal time. So it was like, oh, okay, we're cool. I mean, it's now it's just morning. And we thought that that would happen on the way home because we got home at night and I was exhausted because, again, up for like 28 hours because I don't sleep on planes. I laid in bed so exhausted and my heart rate just was like, no, we're not at a resting heart rate. So you're fucked. And that was my night.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
I would have popped so much melatonin. I would have been like, ah, sleep.
And I should have done something that first night, but like I didn't want to move from bed because I was like, no, if I move from bed, then I'm going to make it worse.
Yeah. Yes, your ma'am. Body is revolting.
It's everything's revolting. The state of Connecticut's revolting. The state of our country is revolting. I mean, you know, it's just everything's in revolt. Could have been the eclipse. Who knows? But
oh man, there are some like crazy stories that have come out of the fucking eclipse of like some legit crazy things. Like
what?
Like this woman who, like, I can't really talk about it. I was in the other room, but it was like not good.
Ah,
for her or her children.
Oh,
but funny story about people being crazy. I guess my boss, like his brother, or no, it's his wife's sister. Was making, like, telling people, like, her in her family that they had all to get together and had to be at her house for when the world ends. Because the world was going to end during the eclipse.
Oh, right.
You know what was the craziest part about, like, people, like, in their conspiracy theories and the world ending with the eclipse? Is that, like, it happens for different times in different places. So, like, in Connecticut, like, it's already happened in a lot of places before it got to us. And it's like, dude, if the world was gonna end, it would have done it in one of the places of totality. You know, not like...
Right when it hits your eyes.
When it hits fucking Connecticut.
Yeah.
No. The world's not ending when the eclipse hits Connecticut. Like, the world doesn't even understand that Connecticut exists.
No, that's cool true. That. That's true. Because while I was in Japan, I tried to tell a couple of different Japanese people that I interacted with, like, oh, yes, I'm from the United States. And they're like, oh, America. Oh, America. And I said, yes, I'm from Connecticut. And they're like, Canada?
I wish. Like, you should have been like, I am from Canada.
And that's actually what I said it. Because I was like, you know what? It's close enough. It's not really, close. But it's close enough. Oh, Canada.
I would do it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, absolutely. Yeah, I'm from Canada. They're absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
However, the couple, well, I shouldn't even say anything in case Glenn's decides to listen.
Again,
which he won't.
I don't think he will. Let it go. Let it out. I'm ready for it. Well, give me the tea.
Yeah, well, you know, that we were on a tour. Oh, by the way, this is Coming Hot in the Box with Slice and Carnage, and I am Carnage.
I am Slice.
And it's been a while, Slice.
It has. We're just chit-chatting away, but I'm ready to hear about Glenn.
So, Glenn and Ingrid, the couple from Toronto, Canada, who were part of our tour group, who were just like, God, I mean, first of all, Ingrid never had anything, like, positive to say pretty much ever. Aww. I mean, like, to the point where at the end, we all, the whole tour group, which was there, there were nine of us, we went out for drinks after our fairly disastrous sayonara dinner that the tour company provides, where the owner of the tour company takes us out to dinner. But we've never met this man before, and he made it pretty clear that this is, like, oh, he does, like, 30 of these a year, like... Yeah, he didn't, like, bother to talk to us or really. It was the most awkward, weird dinner I've been to in a very long time. And so anyway, we all nine of us went out to drinks afterwards, and we were talking about our tour like we thought we would do at our dinner. Like, hey, what was your favorite part? You know, what was, you know, we went around the table like, oh, what was your favorite part? Oh, what was yours? And so I said to Ingrid, I said, Ingrid, what was your favorite part of the tour? She's like, well, you know what I'd like to do? How about we just say what was my least favorite part of the tour? And I'm just like, that's not what I asked.
Why? That's what a
like, didn't even bother to answer the question of like, what was the best? I think she said something like, there were a lot of little things. And it's like, okay. But like, you have to turn it around and be like, what was one of the worst things? And I was like, okay.
Right, because your least favorite thing is
the thing that
the worst thing that you didn't like the most.
Right, that you want to talk about while we're all being like positive and happy. It's like, this is what you want to bring up. So first of all,
I think,
yeah, Debbie Downer. Womp womp.
Yeah, womp womp.
Oh, this took this long? I thought it was going to be, you said it was going to be shorter than that. And, you know, shit like that. And then Glenn was, like, the quintessential, like, patriarchy. I'm just going to say it. He was just, like, the stereotypical patriarchy. Like, would make sexist comments and jokes. Like, you know, we were talking about Matt's business and, my husband works for, you know, he's self-employed, an entrepreneur. And Matt was talking about what he did. And he says to me, he's like, oh, so you must help with the administrative stuff.
Ew.
I was like, no. No, I don't help him really at all because it's not my business. It's his business. I have a business, actually, of my own. And if anything, he helps me out more with that than I help him out with this. So, yeah. No, Glenn, that's not.
Mm-mm. Have I told you my misogyny story of being female identifying in the workplace?
Oh, no, but do tell while I eat this white peach mochi treat.
Oh, that sounds delicious. Mm. So. When you first get hired at where I work, they do this, like, big meeting get together with all the new hires, and, like, there's all the VPs and the CEO and, like, the, like, chief of security is there and blah, blah, blah. So it's this big to-do thing. And then afterwards, everybody moves over into the cafeteria, and each department is split up into the tables of their own group. And I happen to be the single female identifying person at the table. And I was like, oh, this is going to go great. And then I see that there's a piece of paper and a pen in the middle of the fucking table. And I was like, shit, someone's going to have to take notes or whatever. And I was like, they're going to pass it to me. They're going to pass it to me. I know they're going to fucking pass it to me. Like, so I didn't grab it. I didn't go for it because, like, normally I would, because I'd be like, ooh, I like to write things. But no, I didn't, out of principle. And, like, the first thing, this dude goes and, like, just slides it right on down to me. It's like, Megan, would you like to take notes? I was like, no! I was like, I'm not anybody's secretary. No, thank you. I, like, slid it back. I was so mad because I was like, I fucking called it. I called it. And I was like, what is that thought that men have when they're like, oh, you are female identifying, so you must be the administrator of the paperwork or whatever.
Yeah, like, oh, because
because why? Because why?
And at some point during the tour, we were talking about like the Me Too movement and how when Ingrid worked as a secretary, her boss would like put his arm on her shoulder, like, hey, how are you doing today? Oh, what are you working on today? And she's like, I didn't think anything of it because that wasn't the way he meant it at all. And I'm like, dude shouldn't touch me. That's all I have to say about that. And like, then I walked away and I was like, no, like hard fucking no. Like, I get it. That's what you're used to and that's what you grew up with. But like, that is no longer acceptable in a workplace environment.
No. I've actually had someone do that to me and I like literally cringe thinking about it of like, I don't know you. Don't touch me. Like, just don't. No. No touchy. This is my ninja hands.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was pretty adamant about that when I, like, she brought it up and I was just like, yeah, because it's important. And then she said that story and I'm just like, no. Nope. Nope.
No, thank you. Don't touch me. That's a hard pass. Yeah.
I don't want you to touch me. So please don't touch me.
I hate all of that.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, you know, it gave Matt and I fodder for while we were there just to be like, oh, God. All right. Whatever. Because, you know, you're with these people for 2 weeks straight, pretty much. Like, you do have some time away, but you're staying in the same hotel. You have to go to breakfast around sort of the same time. You don't have to sit together, but like, you know, and some people on my tour were great, like absolutely delightful. But yeah, the two. And the funny thing is that as soon as we got to the hotel, that very first night, while we were like checking into the hotel, our guide who had taken us from the train station to the hotel apparently had done the same thing for this couple the night before and had given them a different time that we were meeting the next morning. And she like was pissed at this guy. Like, we were told it was 9. Now it's 7:30 or whatever the fuck it was. And it's like, you know, sweetheart, shit changes. Like, you know, why does it matter? Like, but I said to Matt, I'm like, watch, they're going to be on our tour. Sure as shit. The next day. I was like, yep. Yep.
Oh, no.
Fantastic.
Delightful.
Yeah.
We're really good at calling things, though. That's what I've learned from these chit-chats.
I'm good at calling things.
No, I said we are good at calling things.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we're really good at it.
Yeah, like, well, you know, if people keep acting stereotypically, then, you know, shit gets easy to pinpoint.
It's true.
Yeah.
Stop being so generic, Susan.
Jesus. Anyway. So, Slice, what are we going to talk about this week? We just haven't talked, just the two of us, in a while.
I know. It's been so long, and I feel like that saddens me, but it excites me at the same time because I love everybody that we talk to.
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh, maybe we should, like, talk.
Yeah, because you know what? I want to know what sent you to the box last week.
No. What did send me to the box last week? I don't think... anything? Really? I had a staycation last week. I just did like nothing.
Wow.
In fact, I did so much of nothing. Like, I even got like child-free days, which I never get. So I did a whole lot of nothing. I told myself, I was like, I'm going to do so many things during this staycation, and I did not a one.
I mean, that's okay, though.
Yeah, I caught up on, like, a lot of, like, television and movies. When my kid wasn't here, I was watching horror movies the entire day.
Aww. That's lovely.
It was so nice. And me and Jay actually sat down and watched an entire series.
Wow. Like,
well, like, I mean, there's only one series.
One season, like, yeah.
Season, yeah, of the series. But it was, we watched the new Fallout on Amazon.
Yes.
And it was really good.
Good.
But it was just like, I did nothing. And it was great. And maybe I will go to the box for doing nothing. But I call shenanigans on that call because it was amazing.
I did like the opposite of that.
You did so much that I was worried that you were going to make it to Mordor while you were in Japan.
Dude, I was close. I was hustling.
And I told you before you left, and you were like, stop walking so much. And I'm like, dude, you're going to do so much walking. You're going to like leave me in the dust. And you did.
Yes, I did. Matthew just walked by and showed me that one of Nippet's newly beloved toys is now garbage because Nippet destroyed it.
Uh-oh. Nippet loved it that much.
Yeah, loved it hard. Loved it too hard. Yeah, hard. I walked an average of like 6 to 7 miles a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane. For 2 weeks. No, How's your knee feel?
My knee was actually okay, except for the day that I climbed the mountain and shouldn't have. That was a fun day. And mostly it was my hips, actually, because the Japanese, I don't think they know what pillow top mattresses are. and that's not a dig to, you know, the Japanese. I just don't know if they know what a pillow top mattress is, because none of the mattresses that I slept on were anything like that. So my soft American body just hated it. And I woke up with a lot of hip pain. And then with walking all the time, I had a lot of hip pain. So, yeah, that was that. But I traveled a lot. We saw a lot of Japan. So we just moved around a lot. So it was exhausting, and I'm so tired now. It's like bonkers. But I'm getting back.
Did anything send you to the box while you were in Japan?
I'm sure many things did that I, you know, tried not to be an asshole about in a foreign country. I think I was pretty respectful the whole time. But a funny story that I think would be amusing to share is that, so Japan like has bathroom covered, like the whole art of bathroom perfected. Their showers are amazing. Okay. They have amazing tubs, and they have amazing toilets, and they have bidet toilets that have heated seats. So it doesn't matter if you get up in 2:30 in the morning, you sit your ass down and your cheeks are warm. And that's comforting. That has a nice feeling. And a bidet seat is where it's at. And literally every single toilet in Japan is this kind of toilet. It is like probably the exact same model. Not everyone, but like everyone is like this. Every single shitty bathroom in a public wasn't even that shitty because it was so clean, because Japan is like the fucking cleanest. And they don't believe in garbage cans. Like, there's no garbage cans on the street, like, at all. And it's just clean. It's just clean. So I was going to the bathroom, at one of the places. It was not like our hotel, as we were out and about. And I still tend to hover. Yes, I'm a hoverer. I don't want to hear it. You know, we have two different camps, the hoverers and the non-hoverers. But when I'm in public, I really can't sit on a toilet seat unless it's a problem and I have to do number two. I can't sit on a toilet seat. So I was in this public bathroom, going to the bathroom, and as I'm midstream, something falls on my back. And I thought somebody had reached around and was grabbing me. But really, it was just the automatic toilet seat cover coming down. And I was like, oh! And again, Japan, the women are very shy and respectful and respectable. Like, they actually have a white noise button on the bidet so that you can drown out the sounds that your body makes while using the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
That's a thing. Yeah.
Oh, yep. My God. Every public bathroom should have that. I would love it forever.
Yeah. It would be great, right? Yeah. So, but we don't have that here because...
literally.
literally. But so here I am, midstream, thing comes down on my back, don't know what it is. I literally think, because my brain, I literally think a man is coming out behind me and like grabbing my back. I mean, for like a hot second, not like in actual.
Okay.
And I was like, oh! I'm sure other people heard me. I don't know what they thought was happening. But like, I turn around and realize that it's the seat cover. And it was just like, oh, wow. Wow. It's, you know, American abroad. So that's what I went to the box for last week.
So let me get this straight. It has an automatic seat cover that comes down like this.
Like if it's like, not being used. Like a close
in the mouth.
Yeah, exactly. Like the lid comes down.
Does it come down before you flush?
I think that it. No. So, like, oh. I walked in to the bathroom, and it was already up. And I think it closes automatically when nobody's sitting on it. So, yeah, it has a sensor on it because it actually, like, it like, will heat up certain things. Like, you can hear it turn on when you sit down. Yeah.
I love everything about this bathroom adventure.
I want one.
So during the great COVID toilet paper shortage, I almost bought a bidet. I was like, because we were sitting here panicking because we were like, oh no, we're reaching the end of the line on our toilet paper and we couldn't find any toilet paper. And I was like, oh my God, what about a bidet? We could just go to Home Depot and pick one up. Unfortunately, people had thought about that before me.
Yeah. And there was
oh, I have an outlet. It's fine.
By your toilet? Like,
yeah, it's right above my toilet.
Oh. Well, not everybody
has everything in my bathroom is very close together. If you haven't noticed.
I guess.
So I'm pretty sure a cord could reach every corner of that bathroom.
Yeah.
It's so small.
It's very small.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
Anyway, I almost did that. I think part of what we're going to talk about a couple things. So we're going to talk about what's been going on in Derby because there's been a number of things that have gone on in Derby, and the importance of taking a step back from Derby or just to give yourself some time and a vacation, which. I will say that I took 2 weeks off. I took about 3 weeks off from Derby total. And I did not get a break from Derby pretty much the entire time I was in Japan. And that was really aggravating. I mean, I was able to separate myself, but still, like, I would wake up in the morning and have, like, literally 50 to 70 messages to like weed through because I was on a different time time than everybody and have to catch up. And I could have just left it, but then I would have had a bullshit amount of stuff to go through. And there were things that were happening that needed immediate attention. So it was like, by week one, I was like, okay, I'd like to enjoy my second week in Japan without any of this. And I did, which was nice. But like, I think the thing to talk about is how Derby, you know, we talk about Derby in a positive light, that it really helps a lot of things, and it provides a good great community, and there's so much joy and positivity, but there are some dark sides.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're here to talk about the not so rosy things of Derby, which is a lot of it, I think, is just the sheer fact that you're taking a lot of people who have, most of the time, have strong personalities or very, you know, very, very big feelings about things. And you have to try to make the best solution to fit the general amount of people instead of satisfying a couple of people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those couple of people can tend to be the loudest. So, yeah. And I think making sure that you take the time to step away from this sport does help your longevity to stay in the sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think when people are go, 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 going all the time at 100%, they forget that you can't maintain 100%, 100% of the time. It's mm-hmm. just, it's not going to happen. And I think people in Derby tend to forget about that.
I do.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I do too. And I think, you know, especially if you're in any sort of leadership position too.
Right.
That, you know, like if you're outside of a leadership position, you can step back a little bit more. Yeah. Like you still have to do your volunteer hours and stuff like that. But it's like a whole nother full-time job when you're in a leadership position in roller derby. That is. It's a lot, and it's exhausting.
It is. And, you know, the people that are in the leadership positions, you know, like, we have to really support each other. So even if something may not be necessarily affecting me directly, it may be affecting somebody that I work very closely with directly. And then that, you know, to be a good person and to make sure that they take care of themselves, you have to still maintain a pretty active space, you know, like making sure, and some people aren't like this. I know I am, but like if I have to, I feel responsible as coach, and this is self imposed upon to some degree. But like, I want to make sure that my little flock is doing okay. And if some of my little chicklings like aren't doing so great, I want to make sure that they're okay. And kind of like a mama bird. Mama bird never stops, but sometimes mama bird needs to smoke some weed and turn on some crappy TV and not listen to you folks for a while. So, yeah, I think that it's important to recognize when you get to that point and speak to your support system that you do have, and know that it, especially if you're dealing with like a major issue or even if it's not a major issue, but like an issue that concerns a lot of the league, because if you think about leagues and like governments and organizations, when they make decisions, it takes a while for a decision to be made and then for everybody to approve it. So if other decisions, you know, like it's hard to make change happen, I guess is the point. And it takes a while to change things as well, because you don't want to have a knee-jerk reaction to certain things. And yeah.
being in a position of leadership is just exhausting. It just requires, and I think a lot of people in the, I think to your point, when you say like things take time, I think a lot of people forget that things take time. And I don't think sometimes people see the big picture of a league, because I feel like generally people in general don't see the bigger point of things.
Right. And they don't see how all the cogs are working in the background too. They know that mm-hmm. people are doing a lot of work. Everybody recognizes that and is very cognizant of that. But it, like, you know, you could be talking about a topic for days, like hours a day for days, and all you're seeing is the end result. But you don't know, like, how much, like, a small group of people have talked about that and, like, hashed mm-hmm. out all the angles. And I think it's just, I think people lose sight because they're there to skate, but they want it to be the best possible situation that possibly can happen. But, you know, depending on your league, you're not necessarily going to make everybody happy. And that's
no
a difficult thing. And
you got a lot of perspectives.
There's a lot of perspectives. And there's a lot of big personalities, I think, that mm-hmm. tend to come with Derby as well, in general. I mean, some of the the people I've met in Derby since the beginning of my time have, like, are larger than life, like bigger than I've ever seen in any other part of my life. Yeah, they have their own lives and they do their own things, but like Derby brings these people together to share a stage. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. you know, it can create interpersonal issues, like I don't like skating with that person, I like this person. I love the scenario of I love this person off skates, but I hate this person on skates, or vice versa. Those situations are very interesting because I've definitely had some of those in my life. But it's trying to find that dance, and sometimes it just gets out of tune, and situations that have come up in the last 6 months for me have made me like close to quitting. And that does happen every so often for me. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that that is an uncommon thing. I think that's a common thing for people in Derby or any type of passion that takes up a lot of your time. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, there's times where you're gonna think about not doing that thing anymore.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I hear the same thing from like kids' coaches, like, you know, football coaches or, you know, basketball coaches, where, you know, you're dealing with this particular kid, but his parents are the worst, or like this chick is like really rude to the other people on her team. You know, like it, there's a lot. I mean, in any sort of situation like this, you have to deal with people, period. You have to deal with people. mm-hmm. And and that can get, it can be so rewarding and so fulfilling, but there is that balance, you know, if Buddhism has taught me anything, it's that balance, baby. You know, you're going to have those people that make it totally worth it, but then you're going to have those people that make you want to rage quit.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and I mean, same goes with my job. Like, I have clients that I adore and then clients that I wish I had never met.
I feel like that's just like a general life thing. Like, you have to have balance. You can't have too much of one thing over another, because you can't maintain it.
Right.
You know, I've seen people where like their kids – are their entire life, their entire personality, their entire life and stuff like that. And then when it gets to a point where those people, like, they don't have anything buddy to talk to because the only people that they talk to are their kids, you know, and that can, like, lead to, like, some not fun mental things.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Right. So I think creating those breaks, you know, like, I knew that I was taking off for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you know, and I wasn't going to see my friends and I wasn't going to hang out. I wasn't going to put skates on. But, like, I also was doing something for me that I knew recharged me in a way that not anything else can. So, you know, that's my solution for me. And I think, you know, I see other people, their solution might be, you know what? I'm going to go play this sport for the summer. I'll see you all in a couple months, you know, and, like, mm-hmm. kind of make derby a truly seasonal thing. So I've definitely seen that happen too. But, you know, I think that everybody has their own way, at least, especially those who have been involved with this sport for a long time and mm-hmm. found a way to make it sustainable for them. Because it can, as we've said many times, it can just overtake everything.
Yeah. You know, yeah. It's interesting because, like, your time off was also kind of my time off mm-hmm. from, like, the podcast.
Yep.
Because I do, like, so much editing and, like a lot of our stuff in the background where it's, like, these last 3 weeks have been really nice because I've been, like, I've had all this, like, time freed up and I feel excited and ready to do more podcasty things.
Yeah, so. Right. And I think that that's, you know, you did a lot of stuff while I did nothing, really. So that gave me a good break from what we're doing here because we had a very crazy winter.
Yeah.
Whew. Can I just catch my breath? Because that was crazy. Yeah.
We've been going nonstop mm-hmm. up until that point. I think that was our yeah. biggest break from recording. Like, yeah,
for sure.
And I feel like it, like, turning on, like, 1 to 2 times a week for the podcast, like, I don't think I realize how exhausting it can be until, like, we took the time off and I was like, oh, this is kind of nice. I'm not talking to anybody. Yeah. I'm not, like,
yeah,
I'm not researching anything. I'm not, like, it's just, like, a bunch of this energy that, like, you know, just, like, unplugged and not didn't have to, like, spend it
right
for a couple of weeks. So that was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I did find a lot of the mental disconnection that I needed being on the other side of the world. I think I needed to actually go to the other side of the world to be able to do that, which was which says a lot about me, I think. but it did recharge me. I think I don't feel super recharged right now because I'm so tired and jet-lagged, but
jet-lagged.
I think, yeah, totally jet-lagged. But I'm excited to move forward and, you know, we have a very busy week ahead of us and because yeah. we have a doubleheader this Saturday.
We do.
On 420.
I'm excited.
It's going to be very exciting.
Yeah. It's going to be a long day.
It's going to be such a long day. I have to work that day, yeah. too. So
yeah, you do. I might. I might work that day.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, we're back at it. And I think that that's great. But I think that, you know, as far as my advice to anybody out there who's dealing with the same thing is just knowing that it's okay to step away.
Mm-hmm.
Give yourself that permission.
I think, and there was a post recently on Reddit about this, about, you know, somebody who was just like, I am finding it harder and harder to find joy in this sport. Like, I'm just, like, I do find joy, but I'm finding it harder and harder to find it. And the biggest suggestion out of the multiple comments that were given was take a break.
Yeah.
There's so many people who have taken multiple breaks in their derby careers because they needed it. Like, if you feel like you need to take a break, take a break. There's nothing. If you're not having a good time, take a beat. You know,
right?
It'll be here when you get back.
And that's totally true, right? I mean, and we have a lot. I see a lot of that happen, which is fantastic because, I think it's kept a lot of people involved in the sport longer, you know, than they would have otherwise. But I know that when you're in a position of leadership, that tends to be a little bit more difficult. But there are times when you should just delegate to others too. Like there's usually a system of support there within the league that if you're going through a rough time, you're really having trouble with your mental health, or you have family issues going on, or you just can't bring yourself to go to practice, like, just tell somebody. And what if you need the time, then other people will step up for that. I mean, at least that's what I've seen and been witness to over the last 12 years. You know, like, there's always somebody that, or several somebodies that can kind of help take the burden off of you or take the extra weight, which is important.
Yeah. I think people tend to forget to put their mental health as a high priority.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think it should be a higher priority than derby. Mm-hmm. I think if you're in a position of power, I take that back. Power. It feels like very like I hold the world in my hands. No, if you're in a leadership position,
right,
and you're burnt out, talk to the other leadership and just say, like, I cannot sustain this. I have to take a step back and, like, have them take over. Have those people take over. Like, the world goes on. Everything still continues. Like,
Yep.
Things will keep moving without you. It's okay to take a step back.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I think it's important. Mm-hmm. So to do a super hard pivot here,
super hard pivot.
Extreme pivot. Of what the fuck has been happening over the last couple weeks.
What the actual fuck is... You know extreme, what it is. Extreme roller derby.
Extreme roller derby!
This fucking ramp. 12-foot ramp into a banked track.
I thought it was a 25-foot ramp.
Is it 25? Oh my God.
It's 25.
Shit. Wait.
I don't have my phone. You're going to have to look.
Shit. Hold on. I'll just go on just Derby Hell because it's posted all over there. Jesus.
I mean, God bless Derby Hell. Like, the first part of my vacation was just following Derby Hell.
Oh, my God. So the cover for this group is now recruiting jammers, NSOs, and coroners for Extreme Derby Hell.
Lord.
And it's just the track on fire. Oh my gosh. God bless Derby Hell. I love it so much.
I mean, the memes that came of the Derby Hell debacle, the comments that came from the Derby Hell debacle.
The merch. I bought an Extreme Derby Hell t-shirt.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to get one of those too.
Oh, yeah. Still up for it. I'll send you the link. It's awesome.
But it gave me life. It gave me a lot of joy. And I was explaining this to my husband while we were away. Because, you know, he's like one of the only one I'm talking to about this. And I'm like, can you believe this? He's like, this is a stunt. This is just a stunt. This is not real. Because it's an April Fool's thing, because we were in Japan around April Fool's. I'm like, Matt, yeah. I shit you not. It's not an April Fool's thing. And then it kept growing and getting bigger. And then the comments, and then the people who were in charge making comments back. And it was just like, oh, no. No, no, this is like a flaming dumpster fire of disaster. Like,
it's so fucking funny.
So
I'm literally still looking for somebody to mention the thing. I can't remember if it's 25 or it has to be. Maybe it is 25 feet.
Okay. Can you see me?
Oh, wait, are you on the website? Because I am. I just got to the website too. Oh my God, tap to hear sound.
No, don't do it because it hurts your ears.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, it's very bad.
Turn it off.
So for those of you perhaps living under a derby rock for the last couple weeks, Slice, do you want to explain to the good people out there what Derby Hill, Extreme Roller Derby is?
Extreme Roller Derby, what the hell even? It's played in an extreme roller dome.
Ooh.
Everything has the word extreme in front of it. Seriously, on this website, like, get ready for extreme scoring. Jammers can score double points for more in extreme substitution wars. I don't know what that even means.
Yeah, so it's a banked track, and the jammers enter the track coming down a 25-foot high ramp. Onto the track, and the track's a bit larger, the straightaways are longer, and there has been a lot of debate, but the rules, or somewhere announced by Extreme Roller Derby, is that the blockers do not wear helmets, and nobody, I think, wears toe stops.
No toe stops.
So no toe stops, and no helmets, and they specifically say men's leagues and women's leagues.
So.
And so I guess it's these four white dudes that are trying to get this concept off the ground, having tryouts that you have to pay to do. And they ask you a list of very odd questions.
Yeah, it was... I remember the list of the odd questions.
Yeah, it's like, what was your favorite food as a kid? Or like, what was your grandma like? Or
like, yeah.
So apparently that's really extreme. Like, you know, they asked you extreme questions. Like, what was your first pet's name?
You know, what's the last four of your social?
Yeah, you're right. That too.
Yeah. What was the name of the street you lived on as a child? Someone stole my identity.
Oh, darn. So, as for those of you who didn't know what this was about, the people who did find out about this were in quite a bit of an uproar about it, because it is the most goddamn stupidest thing I've ever seen.
It's so ridiculous.
It was offensive in that it was like, Derby is back. We're bringing Derby, Roller Derby back. And it's like, hey, motherfuckers.
No, we're here. We've been here
for like 20 years. Like,
have you not heard us hating on pickleball? Like, we're pretty loud.
Maybe that wasn't extreme enough for them.
Extreme! Extreme roller derby playing extreme pickleball. It's the only way we're going to end up on ESPN.
That's right. That's true. Yeah. We need to include, like, some sort of ping pong ball where we hit each other, skate around a track, and and like swat a ball back and forth to each other. There's your extreme, all right? I've come up with that. I want the royalties.
I just, why? Like, it's just, I don't understand. I don't understand. And like, the only reason why people would watch it, and this brings us back to our Professor Slice days, is that people love violence. And they love when people get hurt. And people would go specifically to watch people get hurt, because that's what would happen.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a sport of roller derby that takes concussions and brain injuries very seriously, at least I feel more so than perhaps other ball-related sports that have high levels of traumatic brain injuries. When you're playing a full contact sport, your poor noggin takes abuse. So, you know what? Let's just make it extreme and remove any protection from your noggin. And hopefully you'll be fine.
Can you imagine somebody going down a 25-foot ramp and then into people? And none of those people are wearing a helmet, which I don't know if that's part of the rules or not. Don't like quote me on that. But if that is part of the rules, oh, my God. Like, can you imagine like anybody being on that track?
Also, their rule set is like two paragraphs. So
I didn't even look. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. No, I did. And it is legit like two fucking paragraphs.
Oh, that's it. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like half of a page. Oh my God. Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh my gosh. This is insane. How many pages is WIFTA? Isn't it like 80 something?
It's like 7. It's like 90 something, I think.
Yeah, because we printed it out.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's very funny. And the responses that, you know, as you mentioned, Slice, how is somebody going to come down a 25-foot ramp at speed into a pack of people, perhaps most likely not wearing any head protection and not get injured? And the answer was, they are going to train the people. They're training people.
They're training people. Mm-hmm. They're training people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are they training people like they train wrestlers? Because if they're training them that way, that's not a good case for them. Because pro wrestlers, I've seen a lot of documentaries on pro wrestling because, incidentally, my husband really loves it. The documentaries, that is. And they fucked up. They are fucked up. They got a lot of injuries. And if that's what you're trying to make this, it's just putting them on roller skates. Shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on you.
I think I'm still under the thought that this is just an April Fool's thing that's just gone too far. Like, I think that I think it's an April Fool's joke that it's just, it has not concluded and it's just taking up all of April. And at the end of April, like, we're just going to hear somebody be like, April Fool's, and that's going to be the end of it. That's my thought process.
But see, now it's not April Fool's anymore, though.
I don't know. It's just the not thought out anything. Like, there's no way people can be this stupid. Like, I'm really, really, really trying to hold out for, like, humanity that there's no way that people are actually this dumb and that it's just an April Fool's joke.
I wish I could agree with you, but
yeah,
I don't have that much faith in humanity.
If I get it right, do I win something?
You win my adoration.
Oh, I love that.
Hmm. There you go. That's all I got to give because I'm pretty broke right now.
I was going to say, you can't flick me off for a month.
Oh, no, I'm not going to do that.
That cost is too high.
That cost is too high.
Too damn high.
I mean,
gotta lower those numbers.
I think I probably had flipped you off within the first 5 minutes of seeing you last night.
Yep.
I think that's pretty accurate. So yeah, extreme roller derby, folks.
Extreme roller derby.
You can check it out. Don't give it too much attention though, but it's something that happened that I felt we needed to at least mention as a podcast about roller derby.
Yeah. And honestly, if you are still on the Facebooks, like us old people, check out Derby Hell because it's great.
Oh, please.
And
do.
While you're, yeah, go to Derby Hell and then afterwards go to Derby Heaven, which is always filled with positive derby stuff. So
I didn't even know afterwards. Derby Heaven existed.
It does exist.
Oh.
I know it exists. I post our podcast stuff on there all the time.
Oh. Okay. So when you go to Derby Hell, you know, give them a follow, then go to Derby Heaven, give them a follow, and then make sure you come go to our page and
yeah.
give us a follow.
Yeah, if you're still on the Facebooks.
If you're there,
it's fine. It's okay. Fine. We don't take it as a personal slight at all.
No.
No.
No, it's Facebook's bad. It's just bad. So lastly, I think new news.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe. New news that came out just the other day was we have rankings. We have tournament brackets.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
We have them for regionals.
Yes.
For everywhere except for Latin America.
Yeah.
Did not.
Because WIFTA still hasn't. Yeah. So there are 13 spots, and that makes a bracketing nightmare as far as, or I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say it makes it a bracketing interesting situation. How are they going to?
How do they do that and make it fair?
I don't know.
I mean, I know a lot of people are already posting many of opinions regarding the bracketing because I've seen them and they're funny. I'm not going to share them, but
they're out there.
They're out there. And I love a good dark humor. So,
I think that it's going to be, this year's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how the new ranking systems works with WIFTA that they've put out. And yeah, see how that all plays out this year.
Yeah, it's going to be.
I'm still like scratching my head over the fact that like North America South. Only has two seeds that they can, the top two ranking, and all the other regions are three.
Wouldn't it make sense just to give the South another seed, and then you would have an even number of teams for bracketing?
That would be true, but then that could be shown as like, well, then why didn't the West get four, or the Northeast get four, or Oceania get three, because I think they only have two. It would be a favoritism thing.
Gotcha. Have a representative from each region come and do rock, paper, scissors. And then the winner gets the extra seed.
That sounds like probably the most fair solution.
I can't think of anything more fair than rock, paper, scissors between a representative from each area.
Yeah. But then you have to have a bracket as to who goes first then.
No. You do like ultimate. You do extreme rock, paper, scissors. And what you do is everybody plays with two hands and you play against each person on either side of you and you're in a big circle.
Oh, no. So, incidentally, I bring it's funny that you bring up rock, paper, scissors, because part of our drill last night included rock, paper, scissors. And I am stunned to see, anecdotally, how many people their first sign was the scissors.
I think it's because it's easier to make.
Than this?
I don't know. I feel like...
I mean, because if you're this, one, two,
listen,
three, shoot,
listen, doing rock, you have to physically tell yourself not to do anything. And that's hard. Okay. Doing paper, you have to use your whole hand. It's the whole hand movement.
Wow. That's
doing
that's
scissors tough. Is only two fingers. Listen, no. Professor Slice has spoken, and that's what it is.
No, Professor Slice, I reject your theory because it doesn't make any sense.
It makes a whole lot of fucking sense in my head right now.
Nope.
It does.
I don't understand how shooting out two fingers for scissors is easier than just not shooting out any fingers at all.
Because you have to actively not do something.
You should
think about it. If somebody says, 1, 2, 3, shoot... And you don't do anything, that's harder than doing a thing. Because your brain automatically wants to do a thing. I'm right and you're wrong.
No. I reject that completely.
Listen, absolutely. You're jet lagged. You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, don't you use that against me now. Uh-uh. Do not.
Oh, it's happening.
That's not fair. Oh, that's not fair. So I'm excited to see the tournaments that are coming up. We've already had quite a few tournaments this year with the All-Stars and Cactus Cup and Clover Cup. Whew. I mean...
And then we just had one recently near us. It was the Battle of the...
There was Junior Tournament, I know, in Philadelphia recently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the one that we had near us was the Battle of Bunker Hill.
Oh, right.
Yeah, where they have a big drivable skate.
Oh my God, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I know. I posted it on our Instagram because it made me happy.
I saw that.
I was like, I want one of these.
I showed Matt and I was like, we need to do this. I don't know how, but I'm going to find a way. My nephew got a go-kart for Christmas, so I'm sure that when he's done with that, we can make a skate out of it.
Yeah, we'll just build a skate over it.
Yeah.
That's probably what they did.
I'm sure. Like,
shit, we figured that shit out.
Oh my God, we could, like, have races.
Yes. Rock. That would be so fun.
That would be hilarious.
That would be silly.
That'd be very silly. So coming up, we have regionals in May for the Northeast. That's going to be in Pennsylvania, which we might try to go to.
We are making an effort.
We are.
To go.
We are going to make an effort to go.
We are making efforts.
And... I think I know a lot of leagues out there are in season, so people are super busy, which I think is also another kind of bringing it back around to the beginning, is just making sure that you are taking care of your mental health. I think, you know, the series that we've been that we're is going to be ongoing for us now, talking about mental health and roller derby, you know, just making sure that thing that you love that brings you so much joy maintains that aspect for you.
It doesn't have to be a year-long thing. And it's a rare thing for a sport to be a year-long commitment,
right? I know a lot of times that the part of what makes derby special is that it is a year-long community. Like, you can be involved in it and typically are for a whole year, just because that's how long things happen for, because we crazy like that. you know, and we take time mm-hmm. for the holidays. And, you know, in regards to like our league, we'll have 2 months off in the winter and then we'll have July off. So as a league, I know we're trying to make it a more balanced work life. We're trying to make it a more balanced, like, life derby relationship for our skaters.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm hoping and keeping my fingers crossed that that will help with retainment.
Yeah.
Of making derby a balanceable sport without people getting so burnt out, because like that's like one of the number one issues that people have with roller derby. It's like you hear it said all the time, oh, I just got burnt out.
Yeah. Yep.
So why not like be proactive and try to nip that, and then you might have better retainment with people.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, you want to keep being a goddamn delight out there.
Yeah.
It's a bummer when you just don't feel like you can.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, I know. I feel that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah. Well, I think our conversation was a good one this week,
Sykes. Yeah. Yeah, we had multiple topics. Yeah. Go us.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. It's been a while, but we do have, I know that we do have a lot of really amazing things coming up for people in the next coming weeks. Mm-hmm. We're going to be speaking to a lot of really cool people and bringing you a lot of things that are up and coming in the world of roller derby.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to it.
From our mouths to your ear holes.
That's... Oh, no, it's just like,
oh. I'll never let it go. No, I'll never let it go.
No, I hate it. You could help me fight Slice on this by sending us an email saying why ear holes is a terrible term.
Or you could send us an email saying why ear holes is the best term.
No, terrible. Terrible. You can send that to cominghotinthebox@gmail.com. You can also send us your derby stories. And, you know, if you want to continue to send us stuff about, you know, your derby mental health journey, several skaters have reached out to us with different ideas for episodes. And we've been like gung-ho on it. We love it.
Yeah. It's stuff people have brought to our attention that we didn't even think of mm-hmm. because we're not mental health experts at all. We just have mental health issues. So
yep.
we don't know all the mental health things. So it's been great people reaching out and telling us things like, oh shit, I didn't even know that existed. Let's talk about it.
Right. Exactly. So, mm-hmm. Really looking forward to that. Also, Slice, tell the good people about our website. What are the fun things that you could do there?
Oh, our website, cominghotinthebox.com. You can check out our merch store, which is pretty awesome. We're going to be debuting debuting. I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, it wasn't right.
debuting a new shirt.
Yes.
That we are exciting. Putting out this weekend. We are going to be unveiling that at the doubleheader. But we will have it on the website shortly. And you can check out some information from previous episodes.
Yep.
There's the most recent update on that is Skeet Fighter.
Yep.
And her mission to skate across the United States. And there are multiple links if you want to donate to her GoFundMe or purchase yourself a coloring book.
Yep, and that's for missing and murdered Indigenous people. So it's a really great cause that she is skating for. So go check her out.
We'll probably plug her all the time until she does that. She's doing that skate in July.
That's right.
If anything, go follow her on Instagram. Give her a shout out. Tell her hi and that you're supporting her.
And people can donate to the podcast as well to help us keep giving you all the good feels and all the good information and all the good vibes that we put out to you every week. Because we love making this show and we love that y'all are listening and enjoying it. And we love it. And we love you all.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Because you're all goddamn delights.
You are. You're so delightful, folks. And we're just so thankful for all of you. And thank you for listening to us and supporting us. And keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for this week, I am Carnage.
I am Slice.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, Mom, did you listen to my podcast?
What's a podcast?